Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Thank you for bearing with us. We had some problems last week, and I was in the hospital, and I'm still getting over this cold. Anyway, excuse me. Today's an interesting day in American history. Very important that the Maine, the USS Maine, Navy ship that was sent to Cuba and was docked and anchored in Havana Harbor, blew up. And, of course, the newspaper magnates of the day, William Randolph Hearst and Joseph Pulitzer, beat the war drums in their yellow journalism campaign for the United States to declare war on Spain. And the war cry was, "Remember the Maine." It later turned out, 100 years later, that it wasn't a Spanish mine that the USS Maine struck, but probably an explosion in the coal bunkers in those days. Before the at the end of the, they were called dreadnoughts, they used coal. And, of course, later the British started all this agitation in the Far East, Middle East, excuse me, to get the Middle East oil, and because the British Navy, under Sir Jackie Fisher, Admiral Fisher, the father of the modern battleship, was switching over, wanted the British Navy, the Royal Navy, to switch over from coal to oil. That's one of the reasons why the British were got involved in the Middle East, because of oil and because of their ships. It's a fascinating story in and of itself, and those of you who have seen Riley on PBS, who was his name was Sidney Rosenberg, the illegitimate son of a Russian nobleman and a Jewish mother, went to work for MI5 or MI6 in Britain, which is Britain's secret military service, intelligence service. It's still in effect today. That's a story in of itself. We won't get into that. It's too long and too detailed. Also, since the Maine is blew up in Havana Harbor and we've had a lot of involvement in Cuba, today, in 1959, Fidel Castro declared himself, in effect, the dictator of Cuba, and he's been the longest-serving dictator in South America since 1959. I don't know when this guy's going to croak. Excuse me, and even attempts to kill him and assassinate him have been unsuccessful, so eventually he's got to face the Almighty. Excuse me. And then down in that part of the world, Miami, in 1933, FDR was giving a speech in Miami, and he narrowly, it is said, escaped assassination by the gunman was a guy named Giuseppe Zangara. And in the car with FDR was the mayor of Chicago, Anton Cermak. And in Chicago at the time, there was a fight between the Bohemians, the Bohunks, and the Irish for control of the Democratic Party in Chicago and Cook County. And it is said that the bullet was intended for Anton Cermak to remove him so the Italian mafia could make their deals with the Chicago Irish. But anyway, Cermak lingered on for 2 days, and he said, when he got hit in the car, he said, "I'm glad it was me, Frank, instead of you." That's supposedly what he said. And Cermak died, and the Irish took over the Chicago political machine, the Democratic machine in Cook County, ever since. Only once in the late 80s, Harold Washington, who was black, became mayor of Chicago. And then I happened to be in Chicago visiting a friend at the time. I was walking by City Hall, and the ambulances pulled up. And I said, "Oh, somebody important must have died." It turned out Harold Wilson had a heart attack. Harold Washington, excuse me, Harold Wilson, British Prime Minister, wrong guy, wrong country. And he dropped dead. And then the Chicago Irish, using a Croatian, a guy named Michael Blandic, became the interim mayor, and he lost. People who are back east listening to this broadcast, well, who will listen to it, are probably listening to it in the warmth of their home instead of out in the snow. Chicago had a big snowstorm, one of the worst snowstorms in its history in 1978-79, I believe. And the city was unprepared to deal with the snow, and people couldn't dig themselves out. Mail was buried in the post office mailbox on the corners. And people could truly say, my check's in the mail, but the snow has buried it. Anyway, a woman, the first time in Chicago history, a woman named Jane Byrne, who was married to a newsman, worked for the old Chicago Daily News, which was died a long time ago. Anyway, she ran on the basis of she would clear up the snow, and she won by 15,000 votes in spite of the typical Democratic machines voter fraud, which they're experts at, as they are in New York and San Francisco. But anyway, that's a little interesting bit of history that ties in. And all you women who want to be lawyers going to law school, and because the economy's so bad, law schools have gotten a huge increase in applicants. I don't know where they're going to find the jobs, and for jobs for lawyers, if they're not doing legal research, which a lot of them don't like to do, it's left to people like myself, or investigations, they have to stir up litigation. And that's why people are very angry with lawyers and want to shoot them, and it has happened. Anyway, in 1879, President Rutherford B. Hayes from the Ohio presidents, he's also a general in the Civil War, signed legislation permitting women to argue cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. And his wife was named, this is the only time in the history of the White House where alcohol was banned. His wife was named Lemonade Lucy because she banned alcohol, I guess because of Grant, who was an alcoholic president and general, and he won battles. So in fact, Lincoln once said he would find out what Grant's drinking because I'll give it to the rest of my generals and maybe they'll win some battles, something like that. Anyway, Garfield was, excuse me, another one of the Civil War generals, also from Ohio. Excuse me. And then in 1942, the British in Singapore surrendered. It's incredible. They had they had more troops than the Japanese, who came through the jungle. The British planters, they had their guns anchored and facing the sea because they felt if Singapore was attacked, it would be attacked from the sea with battleships and cruisers and all of that, and these long-range guns would blow them out of the water. They could not turn those guns around to shoot at the Japanese who came through the jungle on bicycles. It was incredible. And to this day, nobody understands why General Percival surrendered all those troops. It was the British biggest military disaster in their modern history, almost as bad as Dunkirk was almost as bad, because the British lost a lot of troops there. But anyway, a lot of those troops that surrendered, they were not only British Army regulars, but Australians, Indians, and from the British Commonwealth. They went to work on that infamous railroad bridge over the River Kwai. Many of them died on the slave ships that were also sent to Japan. A lot of atrocities occurred because that general didn't use his head and unwisely surrendered the fortress of Singapore, which is a separate state today. And then, let's see, what else? Oh, and one of our naval history heroes, in 1804, Stephen Decatur, U.S. Navy lieutenant, sailed in secretly into Tripoli Harbor. The pirates and the terrorists of the day, the Tripolian pirates, used to prey on everybody and take young boys and do various things to them, among other things, and make slaves out of the sailors and hold the captains and other people for ransom. Anyway, they seized the pride of the U.S. Navy called the USS Philadelphia. And so Decatur decided they couldn't keep big sailing battleship of its day. And so he secretly came in and burned the ship to prevent the Tripolian pirates from using it against the navies and merchant fleets of the world. Excuse me. And then for you music lovers who love to do the waltz, it's Johann Strauss's birthday today, the Waltz King. And those of you who like Sonny Bono, who died and his wife became a congresswoman, it's his birthday. And those of you who like tennis, the notorious John McEnroe was born today, and he's now doing ads for a car rental service. And then one of the great British directors, modern director John Schlesinger, those of you who remember Midnight Cowboy, he was born today. And now to our topics. If you notice in the news, former vice presidential candidate and U.S. Senator one term from the South, John Edwards, is getting trashed and bashed, and, you know, it's well-deserved what's going on with him. Anyway, he was still married to a woman who had cancer, and he was screwing around with a woman who was not his wife. And, of course, you know, the hypocrisy of these people, and he's one of these lawyers who's helped, who enriched himself with these medical malpractice cases. He deserved the criticism that he's received. However, we have another lawyer, a black, named Willie Brown, former chief speaker, or speaker of the California legislature, and mayor of San Francisco, and a very corrupt, controversial black. He's still married to a woman named Blanche. She reportedly gets a huge alimony every year or every month. She lives in New York, and he's still married to her. I don't know, people don't understand why he doesn't divorce her. Anyway, he was screwing around with a married woman who was married to another guy, and they weren't divorced, and he also fathered a child, and he bragged about it. Unlike Edwards, who lied, Willie bragged about what he called it, his white rabbit. Yet the media does not talk about his misconduct, his moral perpetuity. And also we have Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's married to a woman. His son is a U.S. congressman, and he screwed around and had a child. So, you know, there appears to be either the media or much of the media, there's some of them did report it, the Inquirer reported on Jesse Jackson and John Edwards, but nothing on Willie Brown. But there seems to be a different standard or no standard for blacks and politically connected ethnics. There's some others, some Jewish rabbis who molested children, and some black ministers, Amos Brown, who has pedophile judgments against him here in San Francisco. And he claimed he touched the hem of Martin Luther King's garment, and therefore he has special rights, privileges, and exemptions. But anyway, it seems that people in the media are afraid to criticize blacks, or they just figure that's the way blacks are. It's hard to decipher what they do and why they do it and why they don't apply the equal treatment to people like John Edwards and apply the same treatment and criticism to Willie Brown and Jesse Jackson. And then, of course, there's Al Sharpton. I think he's a reverend or so-called. That stunt he pulled with Tawana Brawley, the phony rape. You know, he's all over the media and is a commentator and all that. I mean, does this guy have credibility after pulling that stunt? So you decide, as Fox says, we report, you decide. And there are others. I'll bring up the case of the Duke rugby players in another broadcast, because there's some interesting legal aspects to that, or how these people, had they not had wealthy parents who could hire competent and ethical lawyers, they probably would have ended up in the North Carolina prison and somebody's bed buddy. You know, this is what happens to these young kids. They're called fish when they get sent to prison. So we'll get into that another day. But, you know, those of you who are still supporting newspapers, they're becoming more expensive. In San Francisco, the Chronicle is now going to cost $1 for the daily, and $3 they're charging for Sunday, and the circulation is dropping astronomically. People just are not going to pay for a poor coverage, lack of coverage, and what some of us see as lies, distortions, and omissions. You know, it's not worth $3 on Sunday. It's not worth even $1 during the week. And not only that, the papers that are stolen out of the boxes, and you can go to our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, AMICUSVERITAS, and you can see some of the things we've been reporting. The poor drivers get stuck with paying for theft from these the corner boxes where you get the coin boxes, newspaper dispensers. And so there's an interesting scandal on that. And for what they get paid for, even when a paper is paid for, 75 cents currently, they get a nickel. And anything that's stolen, it comes out of that money that they make for the day. It's really a rip. So these are things that people should realize, even when they take two papers, they pay for one and take two. You're ripping off the poor driver. So think about that. But these are among some of the political facts and frauds and the fictions. Now, those of you who have been eating out or still think you can afford to eat out, start monitoring the quality and the quantity of the ingredients in your coffee and in your food. We have found out, some of us who are taken to dinner or coffee and, that some of the upscale espresso shops are diluting. It tasted like coffee-flavored water with some of these places. And they're charging over $1.50 for a small cup. And so I'm waiting for a response from some of these outfits. Are they watering down the coffee that they're charging a high price for? They're not lowering the price of the coffee. We also, for our office Christmas dinner, went to an upscale, we call it a mafia Italian restaurant here in San Francisco. And we've gone there every year. I don't like the place, but out of courtesy, I do go. And, it's an office party. Anyway, we have noticed, and we've heard this from other people who attended other restaurants as well as this one in question, that the quality of the food, they're smaller portions. It tastes, some of the meat tastes like it's aged and not supposed to be aged. You're not paying for that, and it's not cooked. And the quality of the food seems to be has diminished, but the price hasn't decreased. So these are things that are probably, we suspect, are going on elsewhere around the country. So if you stand up and speak up for your rights as a consumer, if you feel that you're being cheated and you're paying high prices for diminished product, then you should complain. Speak up, stand firm, and speak out. That's the only way you're going to win in this world and maintain your rights. Another question, everywhere you go, you see containers for Haitian relief. Some of the other agencies, NGOs, they call them non-government organizations, have been doing work in the vineyards of the Lord, you can put it that way. Some of them are religious, for a long time, and their money, their donations to them have decreased because a lot of money is being targeted for Haiti. Now, and the question is, you go in the grocery store and you see these canisters by the cash register. But who monitors what goes in there and how much is collected at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month? So I don't see any accountability, and I won't, I'll donate directly and other people will donate directly. But accountability, it seems to be the last thing with a lot of these charities and a lot of these disaster drives. We had the same problem with Aid for Africa. Remember that several years ago? So, I wrote a book called Easy Pickings, and it's being revised, and it's going to be on DVD. Anyway, Jack Anderson did talk about it, and we had some problems. But anyway, the word that's been overused is transparency. I would just like to see some straight-up honesty, none of this using these exotic words to mislead people and to deflect questions about accountability. So, informed giving is effective giving. That's one of my phrases. And don't be afraid to ask questions. And I do, and you should, when you're at the checkout counter and they try to get you in and they do ask for you to, would you like to donate to the Pink Ribbon or this or that, ask the question of the cashier. She may not know or he may not know, but they get enough questions. They're going to ask their managers and their bosses. Ask them who accounts for the money that's put in those canisters. There's no sense putting it in there if it's going to be skimmed or stolen at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month. So we're waiting for a response from some of these corporations, the grocery stores and that, which have been pushing very aggressively in some cases for people to put their spare change in these canisters for Haitian relief and other causes. It's not only Haitian relief. And with so much money has gone into Haiti that you wonder it may prop up the whole island. Also, there's a suspicion that Haiti, one of the reasons you see all these politicians down there may be that they have stashed a lot of their hidden wealth offshore. This is a new one, and there was some media people that were also down there who are suspect. So this may come up. It's going to come up because some other people, investigators, are looking at this, that some people went down there to make sure that their money that was in the safety deposit boxes in the Haitian banks was secure and didn't disappear with the earthquake. So that is interesting. And coming up next month will be a retirement party for the most corrupt woman in Washington, so some of the more accurate and honest political watch services. Nancy Pelosi will be 70 years old in March. And it's time, a lot of us feel here in California, that she should retire. She should have retired a long time ago. She's not indispensable, and none of those politicians are. And, of course, you know our theme is march to the scaffold. And she's not the only one. There are other ones. Barbara Boxer should go. It's time for her to go. Blanche Lincoln, who's that awful woman from Louisiana. I forgot her father was the mayor and also Landrieu was also head of HUD in the Carter administration. But these people are not indispensable, and we really do need term limits. One of the things, and I understand that Blanche Lincoln, who did nothing to help Stephen Neri, who was a U.S. sailor, who was one of her constituents, she just ignored the pleas for help from his parents and from other people and from military veterans, that she's collected a lot of money. And, you know, politicians in Washington, they get to keep the postage money that's in the fund that they don't use. They get free franking, it's called, and not named after Barney Frank. And they also get to keep or figure out a way to keep these campaign funds that they've amassed for their next election campaign, a re-election campaign. So this is what they're doing. This is a nice fat cushion to retire on. Besides, they get premium health care and all the other bennies that went with being a congressperson. So that's something people should be aware of, especially if you're losing your job or have lost your job or losing your unemployment benefits and your medical benefits, that, hey, you've been paying for these high-priced politicos who've done little to help you get through life and protect, you know, what few assets you have, your house, your bank account, your job, your health care. So that's something to think about. Not only think about, do something about, you know, and don't pay attention to a lot of this yapping from the New York Times, the idiots over there, Frank Rich and that moronic crowd, about the Tea Party people. A surprising number. There you're always going to have, any movement's going to attract a fringe element, but that's not the majority, and the people are really angry. They have a reason angry. They've had suspicions for a long time that a lot of things are wrong. They see that the media covers it up, or much of the media. In fact, some of these media people, and we'll expose them with pictures and documents, got condos. Oh, yeah, at low prices, especially here in this area in California. And they've lied, distorted, omitted articles, and we've got the articles. And when they're exposed, they leave their employer. And we don't know if the employer's known that these people were getting bribes. And that's what's been going on. I understand also that Art Bernclough, who has Veterans for Constitutional Law, his program and his campaign, that there were corrupt officials in the Veterans Administration who were paying off people in the media to cover up and not report on all the scandals and the abuses that were going on, and how some of these administrators allegedly got to keep the money that they saved the Veterans Administration and by denying legitimate claims that for veterans who were entitled to full benefits for the injuries and the illnesses that they incurred in the service. Also, it's going to come out that there have been gay, lesbian judges on all the benches and the various, not only in the federal courts, but in the state courts. And they, for the most part, the wise ones have kept their mouths shut, their sleeves down, their underwear on, and their zippers up. They weren't in the streets protesting. In fact, we had a judge, a homosexual judge here in San Francisco. Surprisingly, it got reported in the Chronicle. He's out there talking about his husband, and his rights are being violated, and those of us who oppose this kind of conduct, it's very unjudicial, I've said, this is in Pakistan. You know, these people should resign from the bench or be removed. But this Judge Walker, he's not related to John Walker of the accused terrorist who's sitting in federal prison, or George Walker, the corrupt black lawyer who's in the Nery case, should have recused himself from this particular case. There's been a suspicion for a long time that he's gay, but there's been nothing scandalous about him, but there have been questions raised about this case that he had, which also cost the taxpayers big money for the time that the courts had to spend on all of this agitation. Those of us who believe that marriage is a sacrament think that the marriage should be the province of whatever church or synagogue you belong to. And once the government, and we've seen this throughout history, whether it's Catholic countries, it's Protestant countries, it's Muslim countries, once they get involved in religion, it's my phrase, a man can't serve two masters, or not only does he get shortchanged, but loses his shorts as well. The religions get compromised. For instance, in Spain, before Vatican could name a bishop, they had to screen that the Caudillo Franco and the Spanish establishment had to approve the potential appointment. And this, you know, this isn't the way God intended it, if you believe in the Catholic faith. And also in England, they have that problem. So, you know, and in Nazi Germany, the churches were really under the thumb and the boot of the Nazi Party and Adolf Hitler in that crowd. And we've seen the problem in China. The churches, if they want to survive, have to go along with the Red Chinese, Mao, and that crowd's government policies. So it doesn't work. And civil unions are the way to go and give people full benefits, give them the respect under a civil union situation. And we got better things to do with all these issues that are facing us and are not getting dealt with because a lot of attention and a lot of resources have been diverted to indulge in what I call cracked politics. Anybody that's got a Toyota, what you should do, I would recommend you go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We, with the new shadow, caught a horrible accident in San Francisco. There were three of them within three blocks within 3 hours. It was incredible, and I heard there was a fourth. Anyway, we got video of it and edited it a little bit, and it's up on our YouTube site. But the question for this Toyota driver was this one of the vehicles that are involved in the defect? And, or, you know, was this a cause or contributing cause to that crash? The vehicle was flipped. So anyway, you can go see that. And then the John Katisa's case and the George Weber, that's up there. Apparently, somebody who looks like him appeared in this homosexual video, Webcam Dream, that's what it's called. Anyway, tune in Thursday. I'm getting my voice back, and hopefully there'll be no more problems. I want to thank you for listening, and thank you if you go to YouTube, Amicus Veritas, thank you for viewing. And if you have suggestions and or criticisms, we don't like criticisms, but we'll accept them, feel free to email us at amicusveritas@sbcglobal.net. This is Peter Paul Brazola, working once again with the new shadow. I'm getting my voice back slowly. And take it easy, and we'll have an interesting show Thursday. Excuse me. So we're signing off for now. Thank you, and have a good evening.